First of all, I want to thank God and the Lord Jesus Christ for the privilege it is to stand before you guys today. Also want to thank Ron Neef for asking me to share. So what I'm going to share on today is God wants your heart, or claim your rightful privileges. So your song was a great segue, because first of all, I want to show you the sad state of affairs of man. So turn to Genesis 6, and I was like, wow, God is so cool. All these songs, all the manifestations, honestly, I could just not teach, because everything is in the teaching, but that's kind of the way God is. So in Genesis 6, in verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, the word continually is the Hebrew word Y-U with a caret over it, M. And if Julie was here, she could tell you how that's said. I'm going to call it yum. I don't know if that's how it's said or not. But this word means continually, all day, all the time. Is that something? God's concern is about man's heart. And at this point, man's heart was continually, all the time, all day, evil. Continually. Now, the other word in here is the word imagination, which is the word yetzer. And this word means imagination, but there's more to it than just your imagination. According to Wilson, both of these definitions are from Wilson's Old Testament word studies. It doesn't mean only imagination, but it also means his purposes and his desires. So man's purposes, his desires, and everything he was thinking about all day, all the time, was evil. Continually, all the time. It's not a good state of affairs for man. And here's a verse 6 is kind of, you know, God must have really been fed up for him to say what he's going to say in verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. How bad do you have to be for God to be repent that he made man? And then it says, and it grieved him in his heart that he had made man. Wow. I mean, can you imagine our Father being grieved at his heart? That's what it says here. But verse 8. Verse 8 is light at the end of the tunnel. And it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I say, praise the Lord and amen to that. Because without that, there wouldn't be any more mankind. So, man's hearts, his desires, all of that, it was only evil all day, all the time. This is not a good place to be. But God had a better idea. So, like I said, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. So God had to start all over with Noah and his family. And praise the Lord, Noah believed God. Praise the Lord, there was one guy who did what God told him to do. Can you imagine building an ark for 120 years and nobody wants to help you? But he kept going, he was faithful, he trusted God. He did what he was told. So, what I want to do is talk about, I don't want to grieve God, and I know you guys don't, and you people online and on the phone don't. So how do we have a heart that blesses our Father? And this is where we're headed. So in Ezra 7, this is one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. Very practical. And in verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Ezra had to do it. He had to prepare his heart. He had to do the word, and then he taught it. Isn't that great? It wasn't he taught it first, and then he did it, and then he prepared his heart. The order is right there, and that's really awesome because you need to go to the word. So go to Proverbs 2. We're going to look at some Proverbs. We're going to look at a few Proverbs. So it says in Proverbs 2:1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver." Now think about that. You can just put money in there. If people sought God's word as much as they do money or silver or whatever you want to say, that's something, isn't it? "Seeketh her as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then and only then shalt thou understand the respect of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." That's pretty incredible. This is the only way to do it. There's no other way. You know that song, "There's No Two Ways About It"? That's right, there isn't. There's only one way. And it's God's way. And he knows what he's talking about. So we're to receive God's word. We're to incline our ear unto it. We're to listen to it. And we're to apply it. Proverbs 3. None of this stuff is new to you guys. But, you know, review's a good thing. You know, God's pretty smart. "My son, forget not my law," verse 1, "but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Oh my God, who doesn't want length of days and long life? I always tease my wife, "I'm going to live till I'm 100. And that's my goal. I mean, I don't know if I will or I won't, but... who doesn't want that? And the word says here, let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It's a promise. That's a promise throughout ages. It's not just a promise for Solomon and these people. It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Notice it doesn't just say God. It also says man there. So God wants you to have favor in front of people. That's kind of cool. You know, not always fighting with people or arguing with people. It's favor. That's kind of cool. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Not part of it. Not, you can't have this part, but all of it. "And lean not unto thine own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Don't need to say too much about those verses because they pretty much explain themselves. Excuse me, but go to Proverbs 4:23. This one everybody knows. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So the reason you want to keep your heart and keep the word of God in your heart is so when the issues of life, when they come out of your mouth, you'll be speaking the word. You'll be bringing deliverance. You'll be bringing healing, wholeness to people's lives because that's what the word does. Isn't that something? "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." All you got to do is talk to somebody for 5 minutes. And you can find out right where their head is. You can find out what they believe, where their hearts are at. And then maybe Father will open the door and you can speak the word to them if it's not the word in their head. But that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. Go to Proverbs 10. This is the last one. Proverbs 10:8. And again, we're talking about having a heart that blesses God. And these are instructions from God via Solomon, via the written word, so you and I can know today how to do this and how to carry it out so that we can walk and love God and love one another. In Proverbs 10, verse 8a, I don't want to read part B because that's no fun, but part A says, the wise in heart will receive commandments. So you want to be wise? Receive the word. Receive it. That's what this verse is telling you. So, that's all Old Testament. It's not addressed to us. We can apply it, though, because it doesn't contradict our administration. So what I want to do is I want to go to 2 Corinthians 10 and show you from God's word how we can have a heart that blesses God. And, oh, I'm going to read that from the Working Translation because it's a lot more fun. let me get there. Mine's all beat up because it's been used a lot. So in verse 3, it says, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but powerful by God to the demolition of fortified strongholds, demolishing reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every kind of thinking in obedience to Christ. And most people stop at that verse, and they don't read the next one, because the next one's just as important as the ones before it. And being ready to avenge, this is the only place where God tells you to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. That's something. So we demolish reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does the word say? If it doesn't say what the word says, you get rid of it. You don't harbor it in your brain. And here I wanted to make this comment. Dr. Earl, on page 46 of Lifeline, says, take the barbed wire down from around your heart. So whatever's holding you back, whatever's hurting you, whatever bothers you, let it go. It's not God's word. If it's not God's word, God designed our minds to hold his word. He never designed it to hold doubt, worry, or fear. That is not what God designed your mind to do. So when you realize that, and I'm sure you have, but when you realize it, then you go, oh, why would I let that junk in my head? And you let the word be the rule. The word is the truth, not my truth or your truth, which is what you hear in the world today, which they have no idea what they're talking. They don't even know what truth is. But anyway, I love the way this is stated here. It says, demolishing reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what did Lucifer do? He exalted himself above God, or at least he thought he did. And that's what this is talking about. All the thoughts, all the doubts, worries, fears, all the junk in the world exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And what we're to do is lead captive every kind of thinking in obedience to the Christ, because he took care of it all. He paid the price. Oh, man. Every kind of thinking. I like that. Whatever that thinking is, every kind of it, bring it to the word. What does the word say? If it doesn't agree, goodbye. You're out of here. So I want to turn to Ephesians 1. And this is such a great section of the word. I'm just going to read it in the Working Translation, and then I'm going to say a few things. So in verse 13, It says, in him, the Christ, you also, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation deliverance, having also believed in him, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Aren't you glad you're sealed? Ain't nothing can take it away, even if you die. You're still sealed. That's so cool. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Isn't that something? Earnest. It's a little bit. I can't imagine what's coming. It's just a little, it's a token. It's a little bit of what we're getting. And you think about it. All nine manifestations. You can walk with the love of God in your mind if you choose to. And that's just a token of what's coming, you guys. Until the redemption of the acquisition unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, ever since I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the holy sanctified ones, I do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers. Now, here's a prayer Paul prayed by revelation, okay? This is a prayer we should pray for each other because it's in the Word. And if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. I mean, and God had him record this so that we would know. We don't need to guess what to pray for anymore. It's written. It is written. So anyway, I don't see. It's kind of cool when you look at Paul's heart here. Paul wrote it. I mean, God. It's God's word, but Paul wrote it, and Paul was walking, and this is how he lived his life. I don't cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge, acknowledgement of him. In other words, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the holy sanctified ones. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? That power is according to the working of the strength of his ability. Not ours, his. Which he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and caused him to sit at his right side in the heavenly realm, far above every ruler and authority and power and lordship. Even every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the coming age. That pretty much covers it. Oh, man, God's good. He put all things in subjection under his feet and made him head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all things and all people. I turned the page too quick. All right, verse 18, it says, in another word, the eyes of your heart. The word is cardia there. This is why Walter translated heart. He didn't translate it understanding. It's not talking about understanding. It's talking about heart. Now, what does the heart do? You don't have to answer. I mean, it pumps your blood, but we're not talking about that heart, okay? Romans 10, I'm going to show you what the heart does. And God made this so simple that honestly you'd have to be dumber than a mule to figure it, not figure this out. Okay? It says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved, delivered. For with the heart it is believed unto justness, and with the mouth it is confessed unto salvation. So the heart believes. That's what your heart does. Now, when I saw this in Ephesians 1, my head almost blew off. Because this is awesome. This is amazing what God is saying here. Okay? Gotta look at my notes. Oh, and I wanted to give you Thayer's definition of the heart is the center of your spiritual life, your soul. The mind, it is the fountain of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. So the heart believes. God wants our heart. And this word heart doesn't mean heart. It's a figure of speech, metonymy. It represents your believing. Even though God could have used the word believing, he doesn't. Because he wants to draw your attention that he wants your believing. That's why I said he wants your heart. Because that's where you believe. Look at what he wants your heart to be enlightened to. Number one, what is the hope of his calling? The reason we do everything we do is the hope. He wants your eyes open to the... I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. I'm so excited about this. Because it's so big and God is so huge. So he wants you, you know, to have the hope of his calling. What's the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the holy sanctified? He has an inheritance in you. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that. What does that mean to him? What does it mean to you? What's the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? He wants you to know that. And that power is according to the working of the strength of his, Almighty God's ability. His ability. I'd say he has some ability. Just a little. Created the heavens and the earth. Raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead. Gave us Holy Spirit. A little bit of ability. Which he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and caused him to sit at his right side in the heavenly realm. There's a feat. And it wasn't with a rocket ship, was it? SpaceX had nothing to do with it. And he caused them to sit at his right side in the heavenly realm, far above every ruler and authority and power and lordship, even every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the coming one. Okay, so it says every name. Here's some names for you. Cancer, HIV, COVID-19, you name it. He's far above it, and so are we. We need not fear any of this stuff, ever. He put all things in subjection under his feet. Oh, wait a minute. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the coming age. He put all things in subjection under his feet and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Those are the things God wants your heart, your believing to understand. And what's really cool about that is this. This word acknowledge meant the word knowledge. This word is not the normal word for knowledge. It means a knowledge that is precise and exact and that affects the person who has the knowledge to the point that they take action on that knowledge. That's what God's saying here. Isn't that neat? And that's why one of the reasons I believe he used that figure of speech metonymy there was to draw our attention. It's our believing. That's why he wants our heart, because that's where we believe out of. Can you see why I was so excited when I saw this? Because it opens it up more. So, God wants us to know these things, and when our hearts get to the point where we acknowledge these things, we can take action on this information as it affects our lives, and as we live the more abundant life and the lifestyle of a super conqueror that Jesus Christ laid his life down as a living sacrifice, because first of all, he loved God, and second of all, he loved the world. And that's it. Amen. So that's all I have. Thanks, Father, for your word, your faithfulness to it. And thanks for always being faithful. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.